This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Thanksgiving's in a couple of days, which means Black Friday's in a couple of days, which explains why I was in Dallas yesterday taping an interview for a new installment of Conversations from the Corner Office. The CEO of JCPenney, his name is Marvin Ellison.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
You might not be as familiar with JCPenney's still-in-progress turnaround as you were with the implosion it suffered under former CEO Ron Johnson. Johnson, of course, is the guy who helped Steve Jobs design the Apple Store, and he was kind of supposed to do the same thing for Penny. Did not work out so well. Profits cratered, stores were closed, people were laid off, and it is now Marvin Ellison's job to fix it. So as we stood yesterday morning amid women's workout gear in the JCPenney store at the Stonebriar Mall in Frisco, Texas, just north of Dallas, I asked Marvin Ellison what the biggest difference is at Penny with him as CEO.
Well, you know, I think a couple of things. Number one, you have to know who you are and what you stand for as a business. That sounds so very simple, but I think there's a lot of confusion around what is JCPenney as a brand and what consumer are we trying to serve? And so I think there's a lot more clarity today than, you know, 2+ years ago.
Explain that a little bit. I mean, who is your consumer and what are you trying to do now?
Well, I think one of the big mistakes we've made in the past is that we had a core consumer, very traditional, you know, what I call middle America consumer. And we want to move away from that. We want to go to more progressive kind of millennial type of consumer. And so we changed our brands. We changed the fit and fabric. We tried to make the store a little bit hipper. To attract a more younger, kind of more millennial-type customer, and it fell pretty miserably. And when you look at the data is pretty compelling. Over 70% of our customers are female, which was not a big surprise. Yeah. But when you take that female percent, 55% is on average about 60 years old.
Half your customers are women more than 60 years old?
Yeah. You know, 60 years old, kids moved out of the house, homeowner, enjoys traditional types of media. But then the other 45% is in her early 30s. She's very multicultural. She has on average 2 children, and she lives her life through social media. Mm-hmm. And so we have these 2 very different customers, yet we were trying to serve, you know, a customer that didn't was not really interested in shopping with us. And so now we have a strategy where we're leveraging our marketing, our media, to communicate to 2 different customers, but they have some common fundamental things that they both want.
All right, so let's walk a little bit, and sure. I want you to tell me what you're seeing as we go by, since this is your store and you're running a place. So we're heading through like jewelry and accessories.
Yeah,
right?
Well, one of the things that we've done here is that we have this wonderful Sephora partnership,
yep.
And it's our fastest it's growing
makeup
business.
And skincare. And
it
all
is. It's a fabulous business. The problem is that the surrounding areas, you know, adjacent to Sephora, did not connect with that same younger, more millennial customer. This is for that emerging, you know, multicultural, younger female right. consumer. And this area was not conducive. So we reset this entire area. We call it center core. So mm-hmm. it's the center of the store, and we reset it so it can have a more aesthetic feel that Sephora doesn't feel like an oasis in the middle of a desert.
So when you sit in the front office and you issue this directive that says basically fix this, how closely entwined are you with the decision to move women's workout gear closer to Sephora?
Well, it's a great question. So it really comes down to getting the consumer feedback and understanding consumer trends. When the trends were pretty clear that
this is data,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, data that the active wear was really growing fast and that the consumer was becoming more casual. When we just took a quick view of our store, I mean, we were not set that way. So the question was, how do we set our store to be more in line with consumer trends? And so we took about 10 or 15 stores, and we decided to just kind of reset this area and moving apparel in a way where active was closer to the front, and we measured the results. And when the results came in positive, then we started to make the shift for the whole company. So it's a test-and-learn environment.
You're doing better sales and revenue-wise than you have in the past number of years, but you're still not making money, right? So look at that. All right, so now you're picking up, but what is yeah. that? That's like
this
reindeer.
Is yeah. This
you
is
you got to police the store, right?
Well, I'm an associate, and no job is too small, no yeah. job is too large. Well, we are, but here's the challenge. The challenge is the reason we're not making money is because of the debt burden. So when Mike Allman came back after Ron Johnson left the company, Mike was the previous CEO. he had to create enough liquidity that the company could operate effectively.
Right.
So we had to take on a significant amount of debt. And so when I arrived, we had an interest payment north of $400 million a year. And so if you think about that, that's an extra expense that the 2 years prior did not exist. And so that is the burden that we're getting over. Here's the good news. The good news is when we hit our forecast for the fourth quarter, we'll end the year at profitable earnings. That'll be the first time since, I think, 2010.
This is your second Black Friday, right, as CEO?
Yes, sir.
What'd you learn the first time through that you're doing different this time?
What we learned is we believe that it was important to have a more simple message. So you're going to see us talk a lot about gifts under $20, gifts under $15. So simplify the message to the consumer. We also learned that we probably needed to have more giftable items, items that a customer could easily pick up and turn it into a gift for a family member or for a loved one. And we decided that we wanted to get into a category that was bigger ticket. So we rolled out appliance showrooms to over 500 stores.
I was going to ask you about appliances because are you becoming Sears here? Is that what's going on? What data point do you have that says we need to have side-by-side refrigerators and ranges on our second floor here?
It's a couple interesting data points. So in America, 100,000...
Well, there are data points. Look at this.
Absolutely. In America, 100,000 appliances break every day. Every day.
No, really?
Every day. Think about it. Every home
It feels
has,
like they're all in my house, but that's a whole different thing.
Every home, I feel the same way. Every home has a dishwasher, refrigerator, washer, dryer, microwave, oven, range. And so the data shows that the appliance category, because of innovation, new home building, and home turnover, is going to grow over the next 3 years. And when we ran the data, and this is called a failed search analysis, so we went to jcpenney.com, and we looked at all the searches that customers put in for items that we didn't carry, and at the top of the list was major appliances.
Wow.
So customers were coming to jcpenney.com searching for appliances, and we didn't have it. And then we asked our customers, would you buy appliances from us? And they said yes, if the brands were appropriate, if the prices were right, and if there was a service guarantee on quality. And so we think we've addressed all of those things, and it's been a significant success for us.
Marvin, thanks very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Didn't go all the way to Texas for 6.5 minutes of radio. You can hear the rest of my chat with Marvin Ellison about how his first job in retail was as a security guard. Also, how the company is thinking about doing business under a Trump administration. It's all on our Corner Office podcast. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts.